Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm back for another week of radio in Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And it's been about a year since I spoke with my current guest in the studio. I'm joined again by the lovely Andrew Kuo.
Hi, Helen.
Hi.
How are you?
So good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
How have you been?
I've been exactly the same, probably.
Exactly.
Probably. I want to say I've been great, but I've been really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell me everything you've been doing for the past year of your life. Speed me up.
Let's see. A lot of television, a lot of working, not drinking as much.
Wow.
Yeah, it's weird. For me, at least. Cooking a lot, which is fun. Tons of television. I feel like my year has just been about television.
So have you been watching, I'm guessing, Louis C.K. for sure?
For sure.
What else is in the mix?
I really love the show Workaholics.
I haven't watched that yet. What's the, obviously it's about workaholics.
Pretty hilarious. Well, it's like, I like these two shows called The League and Workaholics. And one of them's supposed to be about fantasy sports. And the other one's supposed to be about like the workplace. But they're both just about getting stoned, pretty much. So all the characters are just paranoid and hate each other and love each other and get stoned. Which is probably a great formula for most shows. But that's great. Parks and Rec is great. A lot of sports. 30 for 30, you know, the ESPN. Hit or miss documentary series. Lately more miss than hit, but I still love it and I'll watch them. No matter what.
What's the deal? I have a friend who's a huge sports fan, and the only reason I ever go to his house on Sundays is to watch football because he makes really good gumbo. He's from New Orleans. And there's a channel he showed me where you can watch like 12 games at once, which just seems like Times Square.
He might have the DirecTV pass, the NFL package, which is amazing. And they offer it to NFL people, but they leave... Well, I have the NBA package, which is great too, but it's hard to get simultaneous screens. So I have my computer, my TV, my iPhone, and my iPad. And that is enough. You know, you can watch like three games at once. And weirdly enough, it's like it's really easy to follow. You think it would be a sensory overload, but it's not. You just like go in and out of like timeouts and whatnot.
I think it's kind of a dude thing. It's totally like dudes listening to girls because you're like, yeah, and the other day I did this, da 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 da. And the guy's like, And then your focus kind of goes in and out. I think that's why you're probably good at it because I've tried and
really,
it's tough. Yeah.
I want to say it's not gender specific. Maybe it might.
It's probably not.
It may be interest specific, you know, because watching men in costumes throw around a football is ridiculous, kind of. But it makes sense.
No, I'm sure there's a lot of women who can handle. Well, that's, you know. Yeah. Anyway, that's a whole nother show. But so tell me what you've... So you've been watching a lot of television. Mm-hmm. What have you been cooking? What's going on there?
Oh, man. I have a really great pot that my friend bought me. One of the Le Creuset pots. And it was like a big, massive thing. And I had no idea how expensive these things were. My friend came over to cook a meal with me and notice my terrible pots in the kitchen. So she just sent me this great thing, and I had no idea it cost like $400. And I was like, oh, thank you. It's really heavy. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. She's like, whatever. Just, Use it when you feel like it. And when I found out how expensive it was, I committed myself to using it as much as possible. So it's like, it's so heavy. It's impossible to clean. I look like a 5-year-old kid trying to wash this thing because it's like, you know, 60 pounds and you have to fill it with water. But it's great. It's kind of changed my life. A lot of pastas, a lot of sauces, tons of soups. Like, I really like shopping really late at night at my 24-hour supermarket and waking up early and then setting something to cook and just working through the day. I have my studio in my apartment, and those are my favorite days.
Who do you see at the supermarket late at night? Because that is something I've always wondered, because I've never really done it.
Arguing couples that I think, and I'm really a bad judgment of like what drugs people are on, but I think it's crack. I mean, it's the Key Foods on Avenue A, which is 24 hours.
Oh, that's a terrifying grocery store.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's getting better with gentrification and everything, but it will never not have crackheads around. You know, they'll always be around. It's not quite meth, and I'm not even sure what the difference is. It's not pot. Like, I want to, like, profile them about, like, depending on what aisle they're in, but I can't figure it out because I see the crackheads fighting in, like, the cracker aisle or the snack aisle. I'm like, shouldn't the mellow potheads be here? Shouldn't the crackheads be by the sugar? You know, I have no idea. So a lot of arguing couples and then no one else.
And you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I've always been fascinated by what people are buying in the checkout line, because I kind of am that person that's like, oh, okay, you've got Fancy Feast, a bag of marshmallows, and some cereal. What are you doing tonight?
Right. What is that? Daniel Klaus had that one scene in Ghost World where the guy was just buying Lunchables, and he was maybe the head of the, Anton LaVey, I think it was supposed to be. They saw him in a supermarket, and he was just buying Lunchables. And it's basically that. It's like various degrees of food shame. You know, it's like, I go through 3 packs of Oreos a week, and now you know, unfortunately, because I can't make 3 trips. I just have to make 1 trip, you know?
Yeah.
But it's funny. Yeah, even that comedian Hannibal Buress has that one skit about him buying apple juice on sale and how they racially profiled him, but he thought they were just profiling his purchase. He's like, apple juice is delicious. It's great.
So late at night, you're at the grocery store. What are you buying, and what goes into the actual pot? Not pot, but the other pot at your home, the $400 one.
Oh, God, that pot. Oh, it's like the most expensive thing I own. tons of vegetables, like just chopped vegetables, soup stock, maybe a chicken, usually a chicken. And then I like to I'm a hoarder. So I like to make things in big, big batches and then portion them out and then freeze them in my freezer. And I have like a little mini timeline in my freezer from when I make something. So the oldest thing's on the right and the newest thing's on the left, and they shift over.
Wow.
It's weird, I know. But it makes sense. If you're going to spend all that time cooking, you might as well do it for a couple of days.
That's like a very restaurant cook mentality. It's like first in, first out. That's like a pretty...
It's terrible. It's and when they get mixed up, or when I live with my brother, and when he gets in there and he looks for his ice cream and messes it all up, I have a mini like panic attack, and I'm just sitting there on the couch like pretending to be mellow, which is basically the story of my life, pretending to be mellow. When I'm in my mind, I'm like, he's ruining this delicate timeline in my freezer. How dare he?
Well, it kind of makes me think of your beautiful charts. I mean, it sounds very similar in a food way.
I mean, thank you for that. I always resist trying to be like trying to relate things I do in life. I don't have OCD, I'm pretty sure. I like order, and I like when I can understand. Like, my room is a mess, but I know where everything is. And I think the charts are kind of the same way. They're a complete mess if you're looking at them. And hopefully, you know, there's something nice for everyone in one of those charts, whether it be about color, shape, or a joke, or something that's not funny. But the older I get, the more I'm just conceding it. It's like, okay, fine. You know, I'm not mellow. I need things to be my way, and if they're not my way, I need to talk about it until I'm done, you know? And I think that's what those charts have become, or always were, and I'm just realizing that slowly now.
So, yeah, I mean, for those listeners out there, if you haven't seen them, you should go on The Times and check out Andrew Kuo's charts. They're absolutely beautiful. And two questions, one big question, sort of. What is your process like of what is chart worthy?
Oh, right.
And if you're, I mean, you typically review music or an experience, going to a concert, etc. What kind of credentials go into it? And then what's your process for creating the actual chart?
Okay, yeah, that's a great question. Something I've had to think about a lot recently. So for what I do for The Times is mostly music, and recently a lot for the magazine. And my editor's really great, and she lets me kind of sniff around the internet and around town, and whatever I think, and I use my best judgment, but we've been like 4 years into it, so she kind of trusts me at this point, I hope, to bring her something that isn't too outlandish, but also off kind of what the like John Caramonica would write about or Paralysis, and I come at them with weird things that I like a lot. So that's how I pick what to write about for the Times. In my own artwork, it's usually an experience or something that I'll just think about. Like my house is littered with, and I hate the cliche of like someone, you know, jotting an idea down on a napkin as if they didn't have time, you know, to get a pen and paper. But I have a lot of post-its around my house, and I just kind of like, I'll watch a baseball game and I'll think like, oh, you know, I miss my father, and I'll write that down. And then it will kind of like transform as I like walk around, do the dishes, and I'll find these little pieces of paper in my house and kind of pick one up and kind of just go with it. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I have so many of these post-its that if I sit down to do something, I have like a lot of options. And then usually I'll try to, you know, you have to figure out a system. So let's say I really love the Yankees. Well, how do I love the Yankees? You know, everyone loves the Yankees. So what about the Yankees do I love? So like, well, I really love how they seem really like a generous like idea. Like they're always giving us the best players. They're always giving us what we want. And they're always winning. And I think I feel pretty lucky to be a Yankees fan. So maybe I'll make a chart about that, how I feel lucky, the ways I feel lucky as a sports fan. And then the Yankees will fall in there. And invariably the ways I don't feel lucky, which would be the Knicks or the Jets. And that's how the system will just play itself out. I'm just a loudmouth, and I think these charts are a way for me to, you know, toot my own horn, kind of.
Toot, toot.
Yeah.
Well, you know, CMJ, I think, is this week. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I am not going to CMJ, but...
Well, you should.
I should. I love CMJ. Yeah. but who are you going to see and who are you psyched about?
Oh, man, you're going to call me out. I haven't done my CMJ research yet because I feel like all the schedules haven't been finalized. But I am a sucker for like electronic music. And I think a lot of people are. You know, like I think that has taken over as popular music for kids. And, you know, like... We like to think rock and roll music is like the tough, badass, rebellious music, but I think a lot of kids are listening to electronic music, you know? And I was so spoiled in the last month with music that I feel like I shouldn't ask for anything more. You know, I got to see Bon Iver, who I really love, who a lot of people really love for a good reason, I think. Frank Ocean. I saw a great band the other night called Frightened Rabbit that I like a lot. He played a proper encore, and what I mean by that is I feel like I miss the true encore where people actually applaud. You know, it wasn't really staged, as far as I can tell. It probably was, but he came out twice, and you know, he played five songs total, and a lot of tenderness and a lot of big stuff and a lot of drama, and it's great. But CMJ, like, This is how I feel about the book fair. The book fair is like my favorite weekend of the year, for sure. But every year I go, I realize you can't really make that many books in a year. You know, so you get to see the same books over and over. And you'll pick, maybe there's a dozen new books in the whole PS1. And in a way, that's how I feel about CMJ. Like, I bet you Chairlift is going to do 5 more sets somewhere, you know? And they're like 4 years in running. And I think the nature of that festival has changed quite a bit since, you know, it started in the 90s, way back. I mean, I'm not even sure. But when I started going in the 90s, it was a much, much different experience. And now I just kind of roll in and out of places. I love what the Fader does, and their Fader Fort is amazing. So I'm sure whatever they come up with is a great cross-section. And then, you know, that one special show that's always a secret. I remember seeing, like, Nirvana at Roseland, and that was the secret show of that year. A few days after he, like, died in the ambulance and came back to life for a few seconds, the death. And that was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen. But I didn't know it at the time, in hindsight, I think it was. But so I'm waiting to see what the great show this year is. I mean, I hope it's not Jay-Z. I hope it's something really exciting, but I wouldn't even know what that would be.
Justin Bieber.
That's better than Jay-Z at this point.
Well, we are going to take a really quick break, but when we get back, we have more from Andrew Kuo. You're listening to You Look Hungry. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Percolating by Obesity on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Joe, your computer is so slow, I can't even use this thing.
Yeah, I should probably get a new one. Do you have any suggestions?
Oh, totally, man. You should go to TechServe.
Okay, what's so good about TechServe?
Well, they've got this awesome new insider program that's free when you get a new Mac with AppleCare. So you should buy your computer there because you get 50% off data transfer, free loaner computers, front-of-the-line repair privileges, an annual Mac tune-up service, backup consultation and setup, seminars, and much more.
Okay, yeah, where's TechServe?
It's at 119 West 23rd Street in New York City. They're New York's premier authorized Apple reseller and service provider, and you should totally check out TechServe.com for more information.
All right, that settles it. I'm headed to TechServe.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm still your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm joined today by artist Andrew Kuo, a You Look Hungry fan favorite. You're actually the first repeat guest I've had back on because everyone loves you so much. So,
my God, what an honor.
Welcome back.
This is great. I'm having a blast.
Well, I want to shift gears, but discuss in the spirit of concerts. So, the last time you were here, we discussed R. Kelly a mm-hmm. little bit. We talked about an alleged safari room in his house.
Yes.
Now, you know, most recently he was supposed to have, I think, what was it called? The Love Letter Cruise. That didn't actually happen.
Right.
But it's kind of, to me, it's like this really fascinating concept because you're literally stuck on a boat with R. Kelly in theory for like, I don't know, 2 weeks or something.
Definitely.
And I started reading all the rules to the cruise ship. Like, you can't bring lighters. You can't wear white t-shirts. Like, there are very specific rules. Mm. Well, it didn't happen. But then, apparently, Kid Rock had an actual cruise ship concert tour. And in that concert tour, in the first 10 minutes of when all of the people on the ship were like, sweet, here we go, they were all so wasted that they threw a bunch of beer bottles into the center of the ship. Like, people were graffitiing the walls. And, like, I mean, it was literally, it was a Kid Rock concert, but on a boat. So anyway, my question to you is, if you could be on that ship, how would you chart an experience, an aquatic musical experience, and what would you want to enjoy on that boat?
Oh, man, I think my, like, neurosis would take over. And the one thing I'm curious about is, like, okay, so you're on a boat with an R. Kelly or Kid Rock, and Kid Rock seems like a really awesome dude, I think. And my... I would just look out for anybody who looked like they were Kid Rock in disguise. So I'd just, like, be at the buffet line and be like, is that Kid Rock with a mustache? You know, and it would just take over my life for that cruise. And I wouldn't be able to enjoy anything else. It was like, I'm pretty sure the person who was doing step aerobics was Kid Rock, you know, but with a bald cap, you know, or R. Kelly with sunglasses on only, you know, like. But I would probably chart something as dumb as that, or just pick something like all the things I would be doing if I wasn't on that cruise.
Yeah.
Know, something like that.
Or, you know, what would you do if you had to put, you know, your life jacket on and you couldn't find it because all of the Kid Rock fans had destroyed them? You know, that's what I would think about. I go to like the really dark sort of Titanic place my head.
I'm with you. Right.
You know, but anyway, so, you know, it's no secret that sports are a huge part of what you love. You know, you have a Twitter name Earl Boykins, and, you know, what in sports this year is what you love to talk about? I mean, what's been going on? What crazy things are you into?
I mean, I got into sports... well, first of all, Earl Boykins is a basketball player, and I don't know if we talked about this last time, but just quickly, he's a 5'5 basketball player who kind of played on a lot of teams, and I'm 5'5, and I've always felt slighted in my life as being the shortest guy in the room. And then I saw this guy, I mean, Muggsy Bogues is shorter, Spud Webb is a little bit taller, but there was this Earl Boykins dude who was exactly my height, and he always looked so sad on the court, like... He had a frowny face, and he always had, you know, Marcus Camby was protecting him. All the big guys loved this kid, you know, and I really loved him too. And I really got into sports, and specifically like sports statistics, because I love, you know, like, so my answer to your question is, I think the interesting thing for me this year is seeing Bill James and this whole sabermetric thing kind of permeate popular sports culture, in that you can tune into a pregame on Sunday for an NFL game, and they will actually talk about things like, well, he looks like he's doing this, but if you pay attention to that, this is his fault, or these are the things he's good at. And I find that to be really enjoyable, and it's taken maybe, I don't know when Bill James put out his first baseball prospectus, but it's been, I want to say, like a quarter of a century until these ideas are finally in the consciousness of people who are talking about what they're watching, you know? And I think that's really exciting, and not just because I'm short, because I can't play basketball no matter what. I have no secret talent, but I think it's just interesting to see something in a light that's changing. And hopefully it's changing to, like, make the discussion broader. You know, that's all it is within sports specifically. And I love that. And we get new information every day, and we get to talk about that information with this broader light constantly. So,
our executive producer, Jack Inslee, is a huge sports fan, and I know that he has a couple questions that he wants to hit you with.
Yes.
All right.
Specifically, so to follow up on statistics,
right?
Why will Anthony Davis be such a good fantasy basketball player?
Because he's efficient. Fantasy-wise, okay, if you take a flawed, if let's say Anthony Davis was flawed, he'd probably be someone like Dwight Howard, probably score a lot less. But Dwight Howard's weakness is free throw percentage. And if you want to punt that category, then he's a dominant player. He has a lot of turnovers too. But Anthony Davis, I feel like when Marcus Camby was in his prime, he could do a little of everything really well, except maybe Anthony Davis could do some things really, really well. So he won't hurt you in anything, but he'll give you tons of blocks and rebounds. And he looks awesome. He's got this unibrow that looks like a Twix bar. It's amazing. And people have animated it on Tumblr where it flies away like a bird. And I think he's tried to trademark his name, which remind me of his nickname. It's like Fear the...
I don't even know. I have to look that up.
He sounds like a great prom date.
He's awesome. He's awesome. I'm really excited about him. He's super tall and super skinny, and I think he's going to be great.
I really want his eyebrows to be made of Twix, for real.
They're amazing. Or maybe it's like a big caterpillar, but they're amazing. Yeah, he looks crazy. And he knows he looks crazy, which is even better. It's like Dennis Rodman.
Second question, what does the future hold for Chris Smith? This is a really out there question. I don't know how much of a Knicks fan you are.
Wait, Chris Smith? You mean J.R. Smith's little brother?
Did you see he's injured? He's going to have knee surgery.
Oh, God. Well, they gave him a partially guaranteed contract, right? So they're not on the hook for... They gave him a partially guaranteed contract for the practice squad, I believe.
Yeah.
So we're not, like... we're not in an Antonio McDyess kind of situation. But I had a really tough time with the Knicks this season because, obviously, I love Jeremy Lin quite a bit. But he gave us something that I think, you know... we really loved. Like, this guy went to Toronto and he had the entire city behind him in an away game, and I think it was really irresponsible for the ownership to just let him go like that, because it's the one thing we wanted. We know he's not great. We know he's not even as good as, like, Ramon Sessions, but he's what we wanted. And instead of this talented, really, like, self-aware, winning, young player, we replaced him with a 40-year-old drunk. And I hate to say that because he's disputing that, so maybe he wasn't drunk. But I think Jason Kidd is something we've seen, and we've definitely seen Raymond Felton. So after signing them, and we signed J.R. Smith and his brother... I'm not even sure what they're doing. But
are you switching to the Nets?
Never.
Good.
But I am definitely rooting for the Knicks as mercenaries more than the franchise. I really love a lot of players on the Knicks, like Tyson Chandler especially. And I want them to do great. But if they could lose every game, that would be great too, because it would force James Dolan's hand. And maybe people would stop going to the Garden. Which has to happen. Like, if you serve bad food, people have to stop coming so you don't keep on serving bad food. And then the food will get better, but the Knicks are not getting better.
Well, you know, Linsanity may be over in sports, but it's not over in dairy. At the Chinatown Ice Cream Factory, there's still Linsanity Sunday.
That's right.
Have you had it?
No. What is it? Is like fortune cookies in it or something?
It is a blueberry ice cream with blue and orange sprinkles. And
oh,
then,
that's
I don't
so
know
not racist. I love that.
I don't know what else is in
For
there.
For once,
but...
a non-racist Jeremy Lin reference to something. Yeah, I don't know if the people in Chinatown even know that he's not a Knick anymore or even care. But when he was playing, Chinatown has no nightlife. Like in China, I'm Chinese, if you guys can't see me. And I just think it's a culture that just kind of, you know, it's not a drinking culture majoritively. And like, they don't really do big dinners, you know, they just go to sleep. And so Chinatown is really dead, and I live in Chinatown. But when Linsanity was happening, the streets were kind of buzzing a little bit with, like, dudes who I don't even think cared about basketball. They just wanted to see something great. And I think they'll still tune in. I mean, the Rockets had Yao Ming, and they know how valuable that market is. So they're willing to pay. Even if Jeremy Lin is a complete bust, they're going to make their money back.
I have one last
question. Yes, keep them coming.
This year, Adam Morrison finally turns it around.
Oh, so sad. This guy, heartbreaking, loses on his college team, Gonzaga, and is in the middle of the court. He misses his last shot, but there's time left on the clock, and he's on the floor crying, and there's still time on the clock. Like, he's overcome with his own failure. And it's insane. It's like watching, I mean, they're all kids, and I always forget they're kids because they're like 9 feet tall with like their fifth different facial hairstyle, you know, in their lives. But Adam Morrison, you know, he's the type of player I really love, who's flawed, who seems like they care way too much. And I don't think there's any hope for him. He is just like so flawed, like,
he says if he doesn't make a team this year,
over. Right. Jordan took him, what, 4 overall?
I think so.
Oh, my God. I mean, I loved it, and it's like I love Jordan failing, too, so much. But, you know, not in a mean way, just as he broke my heart as a Knicks fan for a decade way. But Adam Morrison, I wish. Well, he listens to, like, heavy metal. He had one crazy Metallica thing in his life where... it's not as simple as him listening to the band before the game. It was something weird, but he's awesome. I hope he makes the team.
Well, what's on the horizon for you for this next year? So I'm going to ask you back again next year.
I'd love to come. I have a solo show at my new gallery called Marlboro Chelsea in January that I'm working on furiously right now, and by furiously I mean like just watching paint dry, literally. It's like I wonder if landscapers or gardeners actually watch grass grow, because I actually watch paint dry. That's what I do. So when my friends call me and they're like, hey, let's get a drink, I'm like, I'm working. And when I say I'm working, I'm literally pointing a hair dryer at paint. And so that's what I'm doing now. And I don't know. I'd love to make a book this year again. I'd like to, God, I don't know. I'd just like to, I was talking to my friend earlier. It's like, I just don't want this year to be any worse than last year was. And that's my only aspiration in life, I think. That means I'm getting old, but that's about it.
Well, I'm excited for that. And thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show.
Thank you.
And thanks to Jack Inslee, the rest of the crew at Heritage Radio, and Roberta's. We'll see you guys next time.
Let's go out to eat and get some meat. Turkey and jam, macaroni and ham. Say, do you like?
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. Heritage Radio Network is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.